Welcome to Sleeping with Myth, a podcast by me, Myth, also known as a mythic witch. Hey friends, before we get into the meat of this episode, I want to let you know that it could be a little bit triggering. I talk about a little bit about alcohol dependency, and I talk a little bit a lot about sleep paralysis and nightmares. And there are no fixed solutions in this almost hour long of me talking. So I just want to let you know that up front. If you are dealing with a lot, just take such good care of yourself. You can listen to this silly podcast at any time. It's not silly. I don't know why I said that. I feel like I have to make a caveat about everything, but I do not want to trigger anybody who's in a state, especially dealing with sleep paralysis yourself. Maybe this is comforting. Maybe it's not. I have no idea. This is just my life. Okay, bye. Hey y'all. So, I have a stream in less than an hour, but I also had the urge to talk a little bit more about my background as it relates to dreams and dreaming and why I do this work around it, why I put stock in my dreams, and I work with other people to help process and decode their own dreams. I'm just going to start like way at the beginning. I have no idea how long I'll talk about this, but I just think it's important for some context of like how I've been doing this my whole life, and only recently has it become a thing that I have unfortunately had to monetize. Though I will say, having a little bit of energy exchange, having it behind a paywall, sort of keeps me safe in some ways, because what I don't want this podcast to be, and what I don't want any of my work to be, something where I'm trying to prove the validity of something, right? Like, I'm not trying to prove any of the spiritual concepts I'll be talking about. I'm not trying to tell you what to do, tell you what you have to do when it comes to your dreams or what your dreams mean. Even in dream work sessions, when someone has paid for a reading and we're talking about their dream, it's like always their dream. It's their narrative that they are in charge of, and I'm really just a facilitator. I'm just there as a mirror, not to tell you, like to spoon feed you your answers, because I don't really have them. And that's the frustrating thing about all these modalities, is that like you're actually not going to find it externally. Your answers will not come from an external source. I would question anybody who says, I have the answer for you, I'm the only one. That sort of like guru kind of relationship has never resonated for me, but also because who does it benefit for someone external to be the one with your answers, right? I have actually opted out of so much money just by being really strong, like strongly knowing that that is the truth. Because there are people that will just pay you any amount of money for you to say something to them with certainty about their own life, their own experiences, their purpose, whatever it is. And I'm not available for that, because I don't think that's how it works. And I'm strongly anti-cult, even if I am the person that people are coming to as a guru and I can profit, that's not okay. So just a little disclaimer for how everything I'm going to say, this is all just my experience. This is coming from me, from what I've perceived over my 30 years on this planet, as far as I know. And I'm interested in getting into this a little deeper too, because our cards of the week, if you follow me on any of the social media platforms or on Patreon, our card of this week, we actually pulled two cards and we got the Seven of Pentacles and the Knight of Wands. And that question of, am I on the right path? And who determines what the right path is? Like, it's only you. Only you can truly know what your desires are and where you're trying to go, what you're trying to experience in this life. It's like all the times I can look back in my own life and say, oh, I wasn't on the right path. But yes, I was, because it got me here and I like who I am. I feel like I'm doing what I'm meant to be doing by my own terms, on my own terms. So, you know, the wrong path. I actually think of this song, this country song, which is like, I don't know who sang this, but it's like, God bless the broken road that led me straight to you. But instead of God, maybe I would say, you know, bless the broken road that led me to myself, because that's really how it, you know, the places that we've been that are the most heartbreaking, you know, the things that we're not going to televise, the things that we're not going to show on social media, where, you know, where there's this sense of composure, it seems like, that's expected at all times, right? It's like, no, you know, my favorite healing guides, and yeah, I do say healing guides, not healers, for a reason, but my favorite guides are people who are like, who've struggled with addiction, who've been to like the depths of themselves, who've really gone to dark places, who've been in prison or who've been wrongfully imprisoned, you know, people who have been through some shit. Those are the people that I feel like are so in touch with themselves and with reality because they truly know themselves, right? I get really wary when someone is like, oh, I would never XYZ, right? As a way to kind of judge other people. Oh, I'd never do this or that, right? And it's like, oh, okay, well, the circumstances and experiences that someone has is why someone does whatever they do a lot of times. So all of this to say, you know, I'm not excusing bad behavior, but I get a sense of, I guess, empathy and I get a sense of compassion for people who are doing things that I find really disgusting now, because it's like, wow, we've all done things that we aren't proud of and maybe wouldn't share. But anyway, so yeah, I'll just mention too, the reason I don't call myself a healer, and I've never resonated with that word. And I've seen other people, other like famous or semi-famous people in this realm of spiritual healing talking about this, and I'm so grateful for that conversation, because when someone calls me a healer, I'm like, oh, that's so sweet, like, thank you. And I don't like correct them, but personally, healer does not resonate for me, because I don't heal anybody. I'm really trying to heal myself and offer people a different approach, or to hold a mirror up so they can heal themselves too. Because I'm not going to take your power of healing yourself. So just to get that out of the way, but my favorite guides, my favorite, you know, people who do share insight and wisdom, it's like, they're usually folks who, have not only been through some shit, but are also like non-judgmental, because it's like, yeah, they understand what, like, their edges in a way that I think a lot of folks who, you know, they don't go there. They haven't had to go there, you know. So kind of like this conversation about cults, I really believe that anybody could end up in a cult if they are approached at the right at the opportune time for a cult to get them. I think that there's moments in my history where I was like just a hair's breadth away of being in like wrapped up in some shit like that. And I'm not in a cult because I'm smart or something. It's not about intelligence. It's truly luck and having just people pull me away from it at the last moment, truly. Okay, I've talked enough about that. I wanted to talk about, going back, my history with dreaming and dream work and why I do this work, okay? Now that you know that you have the keys and I'm just showing them to you. So when I was a kid, I had sleep paralysis really, really bad. I remember the first few times it happened and I thought that, or maybe I was, who knows, but I just remember the experience being like, okay, I'm being contacted by aliens or spirits. Like I'm being contacted. I remember that I was like laying in bed and I think the window was open. It was like a summer night. And suddenly the sound of like, I don't know if it was cicadas, but the insects outside suddenly got really, really loud. Like the like outside world outside of the window got really, really loud. And my ears like filled up with like a thick sort of texture. And I did see, this happened so often that like I can't really find the lines between each experience, but I know that I saw what other people talk about, like, oh, you see shadow people and stuff. And like, yeah, absolutely. But I also saw like fully formed monsters and really terrifying things that, where it's like, I was like 7. At that age, I really, at that age, of course, I was like really young and I didn't watch scary movies. Nobody had exposed me to anything where my mind would have been like had latched on to something and made this up. You might have just heard my dryer beep. Anyway, I didn't even tell anyone about this for a really long time because it was so scary, but also there was this sense of like shame around it. But also I had this like kind of weird amnesia about it where I just, after it was over, I would be so glad it was over and I would just like go fall right asleep. And then as I got older, this intensified and I learned my dad also experienced sleep paralysis. And then I have a confusing family tree, but I have two brothers, but they not by the same dad. So my older brother also told me he had sleep paralysis. And then as I'm getting older, my younger brother, who's my mom's, not my dad, so not the same family at all, he also had sleep paralysis. And to the point where he, my younger brother at least, because we talked about this more, would tell me like really, really terrifying experiences where he felt like he was seeing like demons and stuff. And I'm not sure if he's still experiencing that. Maybe we should talk about it. But anyway, when I was in college, which is like a decade ago now, geez. anyway, I felt really isolated. I went through this like really horrible breakup that rocked my world, which I mean, who doesn't have a breakup that's rocked their world? But this was like the first really big heartbreak, maybe the only true heartbreak. I don't know. It's hard to say. I think I've had a few pretty bad heartbreaks, but this heartbreak was extremely bad and I did not have any tools to cope at that time. I was totally asleep, I think, in so many ways. In my future, I just watched it like fall apart. Like how I envisioned the future just like fell away. And so I drank a lot at that time I was partying, and I wouldn't say I was an alcoholic, but I don't know, maybe I did have alcoholic tendencies. I'm not afraid of that label. I'm just not sure if that's really what was happening. It was just so much at once that I was definitely like, it wasn't that I drank every day, but when I drank, I went like way too far kind of a thing. Anyway, it was a bad, it was a problem drinking. I'll put it that way at least. And so this exacerbated my sleep paralysis and it started up again. And for me, it would happen mainly when I was like going to sleep. I know some people have it when they're like waking up, but I would have it as I was going to sleep, and I would get so freaked out that I like would sit up and like not, it was just so terrifying. The things I would see, my bed breathing. I would like open my eyes and there'd be like an alien laying in bed with me, like breathing on my face, like looking right at me kind of thing. When you're trying to sleep, that's so scary. And I lived alone. At that time, I was just super sick, you know, very stressed from school and poor, but I didn't even understand poverty at that time. So like not nowhere near as poor as I would get. But anyway, what happened? So that would happen. I would have these horrifying, scary experiences, and then I wouldn't be able to sleep because of them. So I'd be like in this loop of like trying to sleep, having an experience, waking up, having an experience, you know, where I like couldn't get into a deep sleep because I would be cycling through like these waking nightmares where I was not fully asleep. You know, I would definitely have my awareness, but I would see these monsters and these entities. These like crazy looking beings just like hanging from my ceiling. And yeah, again, I had seen some scary movies because at this point I was like 18 or 19. I think I was 19. I don't know. The years kind of blurred because alcohol and deeply unsettling mental illness, right? Because this was mental illness too, you know. I was like very depressed and on top of everything and scared, and all of this just like fed itself, right? Like not sleeping right would lend me to feeling worse, drinking more to kind of like cope, and then the cycle would just sort of continue. And I talk to people now who struggle with sleep paralysis, and it's like, you know, it's so heartbreaking to see it, because even when I was a kid, I had had a few people kind of imply that like, oh, I'm just like haunted or I have something attached, like entity wise. And I was like, okay, sure. But how do I get rid of that, you know? And so it became this like me fighting myself and fighting my brain and fighting these sort of semi-visible monsters. And it took me years to learn to like deal with it, to process it, to where I wasn't like just tormented every night. And through that, I have realized how, well, I didn't have sleep paralysis for a really long time when I got sober and got more, you know, invested in my own health, my mental health and physical health and everything else. But it took years. I mean, I don't think there was like a defining line between when it ended, right? And so I'd still have this happen, but it would happen like a couple times a year. You know, I'd have a few experiences in a month and then nothing for a while. And anyway, this year, 2021, like 20 years later, or not 20, a decade later, excuse me. I've been having it a little more again, and it's like, well, it's stressful and I've, you know, circumstances have changed. My sleep hygiene has not been great. I mean, I'm making podcasts from my bed, so like that's not great sleep hygiene. I'm not recommending anybody like work from bed. You're really not meant to do that, though. I will probably create a future episode of like just basic general recommendations for better sleep and for dealing with nightmares, dealing with sleep paralysis. But as I'm just telling my story, this year I had it again. And I have learned to like close my eyes. I've learned ways of kind of like pulling myself out of it. But I decided this time, like, okay, I'm not going to fight it. I'm just going to like see, like, what am I? Because I'm not, that fear is so much less. Like, the more in touch with myself I get, the more that I'm able to, you know, realize, like, okay, I have survived this whole time. Like, I'm not going to let the fear, like, drive, because that I thought that was fueling it. And I think for many people, and sometimes it really was, but I just stayed open. I'm like, whatever, I'm going to be here for it. And I saw some shadow people. And I also got the message audibly, because this is something also that would happen. You know, I'd hear like, in the past, I'd hear like screams, or I'd hear people talking, or, you know, I've had people, it's not people, you know, but I'd have voices saying like, we're still here, you know, kind of a thing, which is so, so scary. But this, I guess it was last month in November, I got this kind of push to move my ancestor altar out of my bedroom, which is like, duh, you know, maybe that's obvious, but they were just, you know, I got that message during a meditation, like, hey, just go ahead and move your ancestral altar out of your bedroom. Like, you can keep it, but just not in there. Move past needing that in your, you know, place where you're meant to rest. And anyway, okay, back to the experience. So I'm laying there and I hear, we're just your family trying to talk to you. Which was just like, I don't know. I had no fear in that moment. I had no fear when I heard that. I was just like, I wasn't even sad. When I heard it, I was just like, oh. There are these parts of myself. There's these parts of my lineage. There's my, yeah, ancestors too, who specifically I had not been fully open to hearing from, because there's just like so much pain there. And I could feel that, you know, in my regular practice of ancestral communication, I thought I was being open to hearing from them, but I wasn't fully open for it. And so I think that, you know, I'm not going to say, oh, well, this is my answer. You know, after all these years, it was just this. I don't think it's ever just one thing, right? We're complex. But that is a message I would not have been open to even a year ago. That, oh, this is just, we're just your family trying to talk, like trying to be in connection with you. I've had plenty of dreams with ancestral messages and stuff, but when it comes to that, I never thought that it could be something that wasn't harmful. And so I realized, like, okay, so I just have to integrate this instead of like denying parts of myself that are hurting, denying parts of my lineage that like lives within me. Instead of denying it to be heard, because that's part of the issue, is that they've been unheard for so long, and I am someone who could hear it, who could be available for it, and I wasn't available. I'm not beating myself up about past me not being here for it. I just didn't know. But yeah, my experience with nightmares and my early dreams, some I might eventually share and some I may not, they've led me down this road of like really knowing myself and also being in touch with other facets of reality that otherwise were not available to me for whatever reasons, right? Whatever walls that we've put up because of cultural programming or indoctrination, which I have come to realize the indoctrination it never just affected me. It also affected my closer, more immediate ancestors who, you know, it's hard to put into words. But anyway, yeah, that's part of why for a while I was doing dream circles and doing more one-on-one dream work with people. And it's not that I have this magical answer. I don't. We've established. I mean, I'm still learning and unfolding and figuring out my own shit, like big time, you know? And so when I'm in a circle with someone else or I'm listening to someone else talk about their dream, I feel that I can be just really open for what they may not see or be open. I've reached in so many ways, I know there's more depths of myself to explore, but I felt my edges, you know, I've been to the hell aspects of my own personality and my own experience from an early age. I've been very much in touch with death and dying as well. And so it just only because, well, maybe not only because, but I know because I just witnessed a lot of death and dying and early childhood trauma. When I say trauma, it's not always somebody did something bad to me, but also just like growing up with traumatized people and also having, I would say, unstable or unreliable environments. So there are different ways that that can affect you, but yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to talk. I wanted to share that story because I think that you know, there's so many people that will offer dream interpretation, and no disrespect intended for if that's something you're interested in, that's really cool, that's fine. But there's, when I'm helping someone interpret their own dreams, the power and the insight that I have isn't really relevant as much as where is my experience, like what does that give to you when you're looking at your own dreams, when you're processing and realizing, you know, having that epiphany. I don't want to take that away from you. And I've learned a lot too from one of my teachers, Vanessa, who maybe she'll eventually be on this podcast. When it comes to dreaming and like dream healing and dream work with others, she's been a really big inspiration. So I want to be just really upfront that like when it comes to my dream work practice and my dreaming practice in general, it's like there's so many books I've read and there's so many ways that I have done this before I met her. But she gave me a lot of language and a lot of ways to organize what I was already kind of doing. And yeah, just so much respect to her. And she also is a tarot reader and just a really wonderful, magical person. As we're ending this eclipse time too, I'm just reminded of her visiting during the earlier eclipse in this year, during spring when she came. Or maybe it was summer. I was bald. Anyway, she was here. And we did some magic together and made some essences. And anyway, I do hope to have her and a couple of my other friends who are really in touch with themselves and this kind of work to, I hope I get to interview some of them. But I also acknowledge that this time of year and just in general, people are very busy. It sucks to monetize this kind of work. I want to hear about everyone's dreams. I want to give everyone a reading who wants one. I want to, I really just want to do what I do without money, but I need money to live. And also, there are some people that when you're offering free readings, just a word to people who might be getting started, like even if it's not dream healing, but if it's like giving readings or any kind of work like this, where you're holding space for someone, there are people who really, really love what you're doing and they want some of that for themselves, and that's fine. And maybe they can't afford it. And of course, those are the people you want to give free readings to. And then there are other people who kind of get you in that place of like, well, can you prove to me that you have this gift or whatever? And like, prove to me that you're psychic or something. I'm not interested in that. And I'm not psychic. I don't claim psychic ability, because what does that even mean? I think everyone has abilities and ways of sensing things that they either can fine tune and pay attention to or not, that they can be open to or not. So I'm not special. I'm not more intuitive than someone else. I don't need that. I don't need to be. What I'm offering is, like, in any session, I'm giving you my time and I'm giving you my full attention, so that whatever senses I do have that you want to work with and tap into, it's available. But this is also why, you know, I like to do the streams where I offer free readings, like little mini free readings, because sometimes you do not have a dollar, and those are the times in my life where I needed the reading the most, when I didn't have any roots in anything. I needed an anchor of some sort, you know? So I try to balance my, you know, what I'm really available for, what I can do, and what is being asked of me. This is kind of why also I have like a no DMs policy, because then I get in this sort of like longer conversation, and it's like, it's not that I don't want to have it or I'm not interested in what you're saying. It's that I just have very little energy. And so I would rather be able to offer, like this podcast, for example, like I can offer you some of what I want to talk about, and then maybe something will light up for you. You'll have some little, you know, oh, that's something I needed to hear, and that led me to something else, rather than needing my specific focused attention that is going to have to go with a reading. So I try to make sessions as affordable as I can. If you really want a reading, the thing is, like, you can tune into my streams. And I try to do giveaways here and there. I have gift cards on my website. I'm not good at marketing myself and my work. I'm really not. Because the thing is, I just want to make stuff. I don't want to spend my energy convincing anybody to buy something or give me money. Because I'm at this point now where I trust that, like, if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, money will come, right? Like, repeat clients will come. Somebody will give it to me if I'm, you know, really doing what feels to be led by spirit, you know? So, I forgot what I was talking about at this point. I'm going to stream really soon where so far the plan is every Sunday at 2 p.m. Central, I stream on Twitch. And I recognize a lot of people don't use Twitch that listen to me on Twitter and Instagram. But the thing is, on Instagram, if I stream, literally no one will... I still do it sometimes, but a lot of times I don't... Nobody can see it. Nobody finds it. And so there, I get messages later where people are like, oh, I didn't know you were... I didn't know you were going live. Like, I wanted a reading. It's like, well, consistently, pretty much, unless I'm exhausted, I show up to the Sunday 2 p.m. Central stream on live on on Twitch. But yeah, I think it's hard for me sometimes to go through these phases of like, I just want to create, I just want to talk, I just want to radiate, I want to be external, I want to socialize. Versus I will have, you know, several weeks where I really don't want to talk to anyone and I don't want to even give readings. But unfortunately, my cycles and capitalism in general, as the machine that it is, it doesn't align. And I think that that is the case for most people, right? Like, our inspiration is not this consistent thing. Our energy levels aren't consistent enough to be monetized. And, you know, I think at this point, the dream for me is to manifest enough money so that I can have my needs met. And then I just get to do, I get to do this because I just 100% want to, not because I have to, because of material need. And I'm actually getting there. It's just, it's just taking time. And manifesting as a thing, I mean, I could do a whole episode on the pitfalls and the bypassing that comes with manifestation talk. And I probably will at some point. But today, I just wanted to tell you this story about struggling with sleep paralysis my entire life. And how, you know, dreams, they've always been there. They've been there before the cards. My dreams have been there before, even before my deeper relationships with plants. Plants and tarot and the stars, you know, there's so many ways that I feel that I can look for guides in my environment. However, the dreams have always been there. They're just innate, and we all have them. Every single person dreams, even if they don't remember it. My husband's dad says that he doesn't dream and he's never had a dream. And I mean, I believe him that he really feels like he's never had a dream, but oh my God, that's just not true. We all dream. Also, not to just call him out, because he's nice, a great, great father-in-law. But it's just, there are many people I know actually that say that they don't dream. And like, yes, you have many dreams every night. Unless there's something that has happened, like, unless your brain is different. And, you know, I'm not going to fully rule that out, because I'm neurodivergent. Like, brains are different. Brains do things. You can also suffer like head trauma that changes the nature of your dreams, or if you have them. So it's like, I believe that that is possible. But for the most part, when someone's saying that they don't dream, that is actually just, they're telling themselves that they don't dream. For whatever reason, they're not open to it. And, you know, as someone who just figured out, you know, and I know that I've only like scratched the surface on this thing, on this sleep paralysis stuff, you know, but as somebody who just had a breakthrough after like all, yeah, like basically 25 years of nightmares and sleep paralysis, and I'm just starting to kind of make a wider breakthrough about what's going on and how to deal with it. Like, I just have come to this point where I can't judge anybody. I really can't. And maybe I'll have temporary moments where I'm judging, because a lot of times it's something that I need to deal with if I'm judging. But I'm really coming to this place where everybody, even the people that just irritate me or trigger the hell out of me, it's like, you're just having your own experience. And that's it. I am not at liberty. I'm not in a position of being able to say who's good and who's bad and who's doing good and who's doing bad. Like, obviously, I think there's some stuff we should all agree on that's bad, especially when it comes to power and oppression, of course. But as far as like these individuals who are doing stuff that I consider petty or low vibe or whatever, it's like, I can't really judge them because I've done it and I've probably done worse at some point, you know? So anyway, I gotta go stream. I'm gonna go pull some cards for some of you that are listening to this in the future. I hope you had a good reading with me on stream, if that's the case. And yeah, I have no idea what I'll name this episode. These will not all just be me talking for an hour, but I told a friend this story recently, and I'm going to make a disclaimer that it's potentially triggering, because it is. You know, even a year ago, if somebody had said, oh, that's just your lost parts of yourself and lost parts of your lineage trying to talk to you, I'd be like, shut the fuck up. You don't know me. Like, you're telling me I got to integrate what now? Like, anyway, I love you. If you're listening to this, thank you so much for just giving me a space to talk in your ear. I hope that something here served you. If you're on the Patreon, thank you. I super appreciate your support always. And I will see you on the internet. Bye.